In Farley Field, a novel written by Rhys Bowen and read by Gemma Dawson.
September 1939. From His Majesty's Government to Civilian Population of Great Britain. For the duration of the war, the following 7 rules are to be observed at all times. 1. Do not waste food. 2. Do not talk to strangers. 3. Keep all information to yourself. 4. Always listen to government instructions and carry them out. 5. Report anything suspicious to the police. 6. Do not spread rumours. 7. Lock away anything that might help the enemy if we are invaded. Prologue. Elmsley, Kent, August 1939. It had been unusually hot all summer. Ben Cresswell could feel the sun scorching his thighs through his cricket whites as he sat on the clubhouse veranda waiting for his turn at bat. Colonel Huntley sat beside him, mopping his red and sweaty face. He was wearing pads because he was next up at bat. He wasn't as good a batsman as Ben, but he was team captain, and in village cricket, seniority often took precedence over ability. Only 2 overs before tea. Ben hoped that young Sims wouldn't make one of his wild swipes and be out before the tea interval. His head was singing with heat. His mouth felt dry. He closed his eyes and listened to the satisfying thwack of bat against ball, the drone of bees on the honeysuckle behind the clubhouse, the rhythmic clatter of a lawnmower in one of the cottage gardens. The scent of new-mown grass wafted on the warm breeze, mingled with the smoke of leaves burning on a distant bonfire. The scents and sounds of an English summer Sunday, unchanged for centuries, Ben thought. Polite applause directed his attention back to the match, where 2 white-clad figures were sprinting between wickets while a fielder ran to retrieve the ball, throwing it in too late. Another run. Jolly good, Ben thought. They might even win for once. Beyond the perfectly mown pitch, the spire of All Saints Church, where his father was vicar, cast a shadow over the village green. And on the far side, an old oak tree cast a similar shadow over the memorial erected to those men from the village who had died in the Great War. There were 16 names there. Ben had counted them. 16 men and boys from a village of 200. Senseless. Ben muttered to himself.
"Where's young Prescott, then?"
Colonel Huntley interrupted his musings.
"We could have used him today. He handles a fast bowler as well as anyone I've seen."
Ben turned away from the cricket pitch to look at the colonel. He was a large, florid man, his face weathered to a perpetual beetroot colour by a long stint in India and too much scotch.
"He's taking his flying test, sir." "His flying test? Is that what the young idiot's doing these days?"
"Yes, sir. He's been taking flying lessons. He wants to be ready, you see. When war is declared, he'll go straight into the RAF as a pilot. He didn't want to find himself up to his neck in mud in the trenches like all those poor chaps in the last war."
The colonel nodded.
"That was a rum deal. Lucky for me, I was on the northwest frontier. Let's hope they don't make the same bloody mistakes this time."
"I suppose war is inevitable?" Ben asked.
"Oh yes, absolutely. No question about it. That blighter Hitler's going to march into Poland, and we're honour-bound to declare war. In the next couple of weeks, I'd say."